today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and thanks for tuning in. Detroit and the world, of course, lost an incredible icon when Aretha Franklin passed away in 2018. But while the Queen of Soul historically made headlines for her incredible music, it's the resolution of her will and the division of her estate following a trial in probate court that has everybody talking this week. Initially, when Aretha passed away, her family thought she didn't have a will and that her assets would be divided equally among her four sons. But later, two potential handwritten documents became the subject of a long battle over her assets. One is a more detailed writing that contains about a dozen pages. It's dated 2010 with signatures on every page. It was found in a locked cabinet. The other is a four-page document that was dated 2014, literally discovered under a couch cushion with a questionable signature. And that became the subject of this five-year legal battle. Well, this Tuesday, the major question at issue in this battle was resolved as a jury determined that this four-page handwritten document represented the singer's last will and testament. But think about that. If you scribble something down on a piece of paper and it gets lost in the couch cushions, that carries as much weight as a will and testament that you might put together with a lawyer and have signed appropriately. Does that make sense? And doesn't it make you think about your own life and your own assets? How do you make sure that things that you want to have happen with those things after you're done actually take place? To help us answer those questions and talk more about this issue, I'm joined by three people who have absolutely been captivated by what's been happening this week. Ryan Patrick Hooper is the host of Culture Shift, which is heard Monday through Friday right here on WDET at noon. Ryan, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
Yeah, Ryan also has lots of other jobs. He is a freelance journalist for the New York Times and NPR, and recently published pieces for both of them covering this trial. I'm also joined by Darren Feinling. He is an attorney who specializes in probate law, and he is president of the Probate Pro. Darren, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks. Great to be here. It's Findling, but you were very close.
Yeah, Findling. Yeah, there we go.
Very close.
It was close. And rounding out the conversation, I am also joined by Nick Austin, who is the host of Soul Saturday, heard Saturday nights here at 8 on WDET. He's also a producer for Detroit Today and an attorney. Nick, welcome back to the studio.
Always great to be with you, Stephen.
All right. So I just want to talk first about the fascination with this case. Everyone I know is talking about it and looking at it, and I have sensed a little bit of panic in people's voices as they witness what's happened here. This scribbled document found in a couch cushion is what decides what happens to Aretha's assets. But Ryan, this really is about star power and our fascination with popular people's lives, stars' lives, what happens to them, not just when they're here, but when they're gone.
Yeah, you've got three of her sons involved in this trial, trying to figure out which one is the will. You know, those brothers are split, right? Mm-hmm. So it feels like Succession, like on HBO, right? It's a very similar thing to that final season of that show. And it gives it a lot of drama because there is quite a bit of bad blood between the brothers because of this long five-year legal battle. So that adds to it. Getting any details into Aretha Franklin's life, that adds to it. You know, you said lost in the couch, but the reality was this was kind of filed in the couch.
It was filed there.
Because of testimony from her sons, both on the warring side here, saying she really existed on this couch. She spent a lot of time there. She always had important documents around, and she slept there, which, you know, we were talking about it a little bit. Wills are often found stuffed under a mattress.
Where
in this case,
where you sleep, sure.
This was Aretha's mattress, according to testimony from her son. So I think that is a fascinating piece of it, and we have been waiting so long to figure out what's going to happen with this estate. Of course, we want to count the numbers that are coming out of this state. What was left in the bank account?
Yeah,
and how
right.
much is that house in Bloomfield Hills worth? And are they going to sell it? Or are they going to live in it? And also, what's going to happen with the estate now? Now that it's settled, do we start to see tribute concerts? Do we start to see maybe a holographic tour of Aretha Franklin? Those things will start to be decided now that we have a clear answer to what her final wishes were.
Yeah, yeah. So, Darren, I want to bring you into the conversation here and just start with, what on earth is going on here? This seems, I think, to a lot of people, counterintuitive, that the more formal document expressing her will and testament takes a back seat to this document that is just kind of written down on a piece of paper and found in a couch. How can that possibly be the law?
Well, I think that most people believe that somebody of Aretha Franklin's stature would have a group of lawyers who would have prepared a proper estate plan. But that's not always the case, and we've seen that.
I was going to say,
other...
have you ever heard of rock stars?
Yes.
This is not the way they operate.
That's right. There's a lot of distrust among professionals. Many of these people have been burned by their contracts earlier in their career, and they have a lot of distrust. So the fact that she slept on top of her will is not terribly surprising to me. To your point, though, this is what we call a holographic will. A holographic will is not a traditional will. It's a will that is in substantially the handwriting of the individual. It's dated and signed. And if you look at the 2010 will and the 2014, both of them are holographic. Both of them are non-traditional. These are not legal Zoom or created by a law firm. Mm-hmm. These were in her own handwriting, and they're a bit unintelligible. If you read it, some of it is very clear and some of it is very hard to decipher. One is much longer with a lot more detail, and one is much shorter. But that's not the issue. It's not about the amount of detail. It is about how did this jury correctly determine the intent of Aretha Franklin, her last will and testament, what were her intentions? And the jury of six in front of Judge Callahan's courtroom ruled that the March 2014 will was the expression of her last will and testament.
And so what do you tell people who are watching this and maybe fretting a bit about their own estate, about maybe their parents' estate? What is the way to avoid? This has been going on for 5 years, and it's pretty bitter. And there was a real question about what she wanted and what should be respected. How do you not find yourself in that same situation?
Well, we know that most people don't want there to be a fight. They don't want there to be litigation after they have died. And we also know that the creation of a will is a very emotional exercise. People are afraid of doing it. Mm-hmm. They have to face mortality. They have to make difficult decisions about the complicated family that they live with.
The very idea of confronting those questions is it makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And I know lots of other people as well.
Absolutely. It's very difficult to face in writing and put in writing that you're going to disfavor one child over another or disinherit a family member. So it's a very emotional experience. The obvious is to work with a skilled, competent, capable probate estate planning lawyer. That's obvious. That's easy. But for many people, they can't afford it. They're scared. They don't know how to face it. Michigan actually has a statutory will, which is like a fill-in-the-blank will that you can use without even hiring a lawyer. And there are other alternative ways to do estate planning. There's a lot of electronic ways of doing it through like the legal Zoom or other types of online solutions. But the best way is to work with a skilled, competent probate lawyer to think these things through so that you can avoid the litigation.
And Stephen, I think something to think about here between 2010 and 2014, a lot changed for Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
She became sick during that time. Her grandchildren were getting older, and they are very represented in that second will, that 2014 will. Her youngest son, Kalf, is the only son that has given her grandkids, four grandkids, and it seemed like that had become a priority for her. So this change in mind of where things should go between 2010 and 2014, It adds up. Her her life changed quite a bit in that time.
So it makes sense narratively as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Nick, you and I had a pretty interesting conversation and a few laughs about this yesterday. Your take on it, though, is pretty interesting.
You know, I was thinking about this actually before I had a chance to talk to Ryan, who's been the boots on the ground with this, and talk to Darren a little bit about it as well. You know, when I saw the reporting on this story, it seemed to me you have an executed will versus something found in a couch. And that's a lot of the story that you hear in a lot of places. But when you talk to somebody who's actually observed the trial and seen the documents, and I've had a chance to look at both wills now, my opinion on this has changed a lot. And that's why I think it's important for us to understand, when you have jury trials like this, when you see verdicts, it's the jurors, it's the judge that has really seen a lot of information that doesn't necessarily make its way up. At this point, they're dealing with the difficult undertaking of figuring out what was her intentions. And that's tough on any level. So what's always been fascinating to me with this is, how do you figure out someone who passed away, what their intent was? That's why, if you don't want to have that fight, I'd recommend to anybody out there, take this as a signal.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want your people fighting over you. Just get something down on paper.
And she was so private. That's a sad part of this, is that Aretha Franklin was a very private person, wanted to stay private. Mm-hmm. And because of this nasty, bitter bickering that we've seen over the past 5 years, those final wishes were not really adhered to. We've learned a lot about Aretha Franklin. We've learned a lot about her family. We've gotten a vision into her life that she never wanted us to really have. And it reminds me a lot of after Prince died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that family got involved, they started doing a lot of things with Prince's estate that Prince would have hated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's an unfortunate part of this. And again, a reminder to get those wills in order, because if you want to stay private,
get it buttoned up before you leave.
You know, Ryan, you just referenced privacy. So one of the things that an estate planning lawyer can do is to keep the affairs private. And the way you do this is you don't just create a will, but you create a will and a revocable living trust.
Mm.
They work hand in hand. You take all of your assets and you title them in the name of your trust. So upon your death, you avoid probate altogether. Nobody becomes aware of your assets, how you are distributing your financial affairs post-death. It all flows privately through the trust, and nobody becomes aware of it. So in her attempt to create a private document, hide it under her mattress, mm-hmm. or her couch cushion, she could have, had she worked with an estate planning lawyer, solved this problem quite easily. And most people who have accumulated assets like she has work with estate planning lawyers to do this and avoid probate altogether.
Yeah.
One of the greatest reasons to create a trust or to go to an estate planning lawyer is to avoid the probate process. It's one of the great selling points among estate planning lawyers.
Yeah, yeah. I want to go quickly to the phones here. And if you want to join us, if you've got questions or comments about wills and testaments, about what's happened this week with the estate of Aretha Franklin, 313-577-1019 is the number. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today. Let's go back to Bernadette in Old Redford, back for another segment. What's on your mind?
Interesting topic today. I am a homeowner without kids. I have one sister and some nieces. I am interested in the explanation of a Lady Bird deed.
Oh, sure. Lady Bird deed.
I don't know what that is either.
It's a great question. So a Lady Bird deed is an estate planning document for real estate. It's what we call an enhanced life estate. Here's how it works. You take your property, you deed it to yourself with appropriate language, and then there's a named beneficiary. The beauty of this is that upon your death, the beneficiary takes without the necessity of probate. They receive it upon death. And during lifetime, you can still deed the property to other people, you can mortgage the property, and you can qualify for need-based benefits like Medicaid. So a Lady Bird deed is a very effective estate planning tool, and it's used in circumstances like you just described. No family, maybe I just own a house, want to avoid probate, do a Lady Bird deed. I can explain further, but That's the essence of it.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like most of us need to have a conversation with you privately, Darren, about how we make sure we're in the right place.
But with that ladybird deed, we're not going to stick it under the couch. We're going to record it.
That's right. We're going to record
it with a registry.
But in Michigan, you apparently can, if you want.
So Ryan, we've only got about a minute left. Is this the end of this saga that has grown up around Aretha Franklin since her death? As you point out, this was a really private person who would not have wanted this in any form. Are we finally past all of that?
We're past this part of it, and now we have a whole new, I'd call a sequel, to be paying attention to, because now that there's clear control of the estate and they're going to work out these issues, it's again, what is going to happen to that estate, right? Mm-hmm. Are we going to see those tribute concerts? Do you start seeing a lot of compilation CDs? Do unreleased tracks start coming out? You know, this estate is at a point where the biopic with Jennifer Hudson, that's all in the rear view.
Yeah.
So what are they thinking about now of how they keep her legacy alive? And are the kids concerned with the integrity of it? I've already heard rumors of trying to trademark her signature and put that on clothing, a new apparel line coming through from the kids. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. And if they can get along, because they kept telling us that we're friendly outside of the courtroom, but my sources also say there is no truth to that whatsoever. There's a lot of bad blood between the brothers.
Maybe this exposure, because of this litigation 5 years post-death, is reigniting some of the value of her assets.
Yeah.
This is front page news all over the country.
And when you talk about
people are interested in Aretha.
Assets, it's not just house or money. It's also all of the things she created.
The music, and what
happens to it.
As one lawyer put during the trial, we're going to be listening to Aretha Franklin over the next 300 years,
the
main beef in this will is the fact of those music royalties, which the three brothers split equally.
Okay, great to have all three of you here, Ryan, Patrick Hooper, Darren Findling, Nick Austin, to talk about what's going on with the Queen of Soul. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Tune in tomorrow when we're going to replay one of our favorite conversations with Sharon McMahon, who explores how we can remain curious in a politically polarized time. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.